be in Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to be looking at the last couple of parables in the chapter, Matthew chapter 13, and verses 44 through 52. Before we get into the message, just make note of a phrase that Matthew uses in his gospel, in this chapter. He says that the kingdom of heaven, and he uses that phrase, the kingdom of heaven. For other writers in the New Testament, they're going to use the phrase, the kingdom of God. Or it might even just be the kingdom. You actually see it in verse 19 of this chapter. Matthew actually just says the word of the kingdom. And where Matthew's using the phrase kingdom of heaven, I may substitute and say kingdom of God by accident, or I may just even just say the kingdom. Whatever phrase I use, they mean all the same thing. The kingdom of God really means God's right to rule, his authority to rule all things. And so whatever phrase I'm using, that's what I'm referencing. It's the same thing either way. Initially I thought of actually going through all the parables in this chapter. I'm like, no, we don't have enough time. This is a lot there. But I say that because we're going to go through a few. And the parables are connected. Matthew puts these together in this chapter, this section of teaching of Jesus, and they're connected. And I would encourage you to take the time to go and read through Matthew chapter 13 and take the time to try to understand the kingdom of God as Jesus is teaching it. He's clarifying his perspective compared to the Jewish people's perspective of the kingdom of God and trying to help them understand and bring correction to some of their misunderstandings about it. And it's important for us to understand, because if we don't understand the kingdom of God, it hinders our ability to live our life in alignment with God's purposes. Because his purpose is about his kingdom rule. And so we need to understand how his kingdom functions so we can live our life in how we live it out in alignment with what God's purposes are for us within his bigger plan. Right? So just encourage you to do that. And I am going to share one part. I just thought of it when I was sitting here. Before we get into verse 44, verse 19 of chapter 13, it says, verse 19, it says, Jesus says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. And here I just want to make reference to the parable of the sower is really a teaching about he says, the seeds being sown. He's talking about the word of the kingdom being sown. And he says it's going out. And I just want to give the understanding of the main point Jesus is making with this parable of the sower is that the word of the kingdom is going out. He's being sown out by God. And by here is Jesus as he's sharing the word of the kingdom. And he's saying, he gives these various responses depending on the condition of people's heart. And he's saying the word's going out, and God is eliciting a response from people. He's not going to force a response. He's saying, here, the first one does understand, but the very last one says he understands, and he yields it, or bears fruit. No, a tree doesn't sit there and try to go, it bears the fruit. It bears fruit because of who he is. By the plan, you see, the person that understands the kingdom, they said to understand who they are in the kingdom, understand the teachings of the kingdom. And when they understand it, they will bear fruit. It can't happen any other way. And so he's saying, it's important for us to understand. That's why I'm bringing this up at the very beginning. Take the time to read through the whole chapter, because it's a really good teaching about the kingdom of God here in these parables. Important to understand. And we're just going to touch on a couple of them at the very end there. Let's go to Matthew 13, 44, verse 46. And it reads here, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. Who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought.
First, let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word brings life to us, and even as you, that earlier verse that I just read, it's the word of the kingdom. And we pray, God, that you give us hearts that would understand, eyes that would see, ears that would hear clearly, and hearts that would surrender to your word. The first part of this parable, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man finds, and he goes and enjoys, sells everything to have. Now, he's using this parable to say, it's just like you're walking through a field, and all of a sudden you stumble upon this treasure. You go, whoa. But see, back then, whoever owned that field owned that treasure. You couldn't take it. And so he goes, oh, man, and enjoy. He goes and he sells everything so he can buy the field, so he can have the treasure in the field. So he said, Jesus is making a point. He's saying, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is worth infinitely more than anything we can ever own. And it's worth selling everything, giving everything up that we could have. So he's saying, the one that doesn't understand it just lets it go by. But the one that understands it starts to take it in. Back to that first parable. So he's saying, treasure, the kingdom is like that treasure. The worth of the kingdom is worth selling everything and having it. And then he mentions, the next one he says in verse 45, so the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search to find pearls. He mentions a man. And this one he mentions specifically, he says, a merchant of pearls. A pearl merchant. Okay. Now, there's a reason he mentions a pearl merchant. A pearl merchant is someone whose life in business is just, his whole life is given to, and his business is given to, just searching for pearls, as he says. He's searching for pearls, and he's buying up pearls, he's storing up pearls. See, pearl merchants see, maybe some men did see things in pearls that I can't. The pearl merchants are going to see things that we'll, for the most part, will never see in pearls. They have an eye for it. And they're searching for these pearls. So here, the first one, he just stumbles upon it. This one's searching for the pearls. And he stumbles upon it. I mean, he finds this pearl, rather. And as he finds his pearls, he's like, this thing is this great value. He's like, I got to have it. And he turns around, he liquidates everything, even all the pearls he ever bought and stored up. So he's got all these things, he sells everything up just so he can have this one pearl. Okay, so Jesus is talking about being a treasure and a pearl here. Okay, now this is important here to understand. There's a context there. Jesus is talking to Jewish people here. And the Jewish people, he's making a point here. That these pearls, he's talking, you know, the Jewish people had this long-standing cultural heritage of God choosing Abraham all the way up to who they are now, right? And they had this religious system, this traditions, these laws, these feasts, these opinions about the kingdom of God that they've developed, that they're holding on to. They're like pearls to them. Get it? You're seeing this now. Jesus is making this comparison to them. He's using the pearl merchant who searches for all these pearls and has these up. And is he willing to sell everything to have the pearl of great value? And so here is these Jewish people, and see, he's comparing it to that pearl merchant. And the pearl merchant is caught up with all these pearls, and the Jewish people, they're caught up in all these pearls of the traditions, the religious system, their heritage, the feasts, all those things they have. That's what they have. That's their pearls. And Jesus said, if these Jewish sisters, if they will see and they will fully understand what the kingdom is, they will sell off all those other pearls to have the one pearl, Jesus and his kingdom. Get it? See that? So he's making a point here to them. First is that when it stumbles onto the treasure. Now here's the pearl merchant, and they're like them, and they're like they collected these things, and they're very. They don't want to let them go, and if they don't let them go, if they don't recognize, he says, if they understand, it's important. Say if they understand, Jesus is not put. Jesus is not making a saying like, you better choose. Like they can't understand and you got to choose either way. He's saying if they choose, just like the guy with finds a treasure, it says he joyfully, he understood, this is much more than I ever have. And he says, well, if they will fully understand who Jesus is and who the kingdom and what the kingdom is, they will liquidate all those other things. Okay? Now, the thing is, the other thing, if they don't, what happens is these things, these pearls of their traditions and religious system and all that stuff, it's become their identity, their purpose, their sense of having any value. And see, that's the other thing that gets tied up in here. Are they willing to let those things and actually find their identity in Jesus? Jesus is the only one that can give us our true identity through the Father. Not those things. Those things, those other pearls were supposed to lead to the real pearl. Jesus, the pearl of great value. Now let's look at what how's that relevant for us today? How's that relevant for us today? This is important to understand here. See, well, we all have our modern day pearls. Right? Get it? We're our religious traditions. These things we hold sacred. They're like pearls to us that we've had it for many years. Especially us that have been believers for a lot longer time. We've held them for a lot longer. They're hard to let go of. Right? And so here, that's what Jesus is saying to them. Now he's saying to us. In our own context here. And we have these things that it's our buildings, that the clothes that we wear, the songs that we sing, the prayers that we pray. Right? And as we sang this as a year campus for the water, it brought back memories from my years, 40 years ago. It was years, years ago, hearing those songs, I first came to Christ and sang. And so we have these songs that like this type of music that we have to sing. Oh, we don't like this kind, we like this kind. We have our pet doctrines that we get in arguments with our fellow believers on the other side. One's on this side of church, one side's on this side of church, because they've got their differences. No, don't make believe like it doesn't happen. It does. We hold these pearls so tightly, we're missing the real pearl. And Jesus is putting it to the Jewish people, he's putting it to us too. We have to understand we have these pearls. We do. See, what happens is we sometimes have them that to the point we find our identity in our purpose. And like our church or our church denomination is a big thing sometimes too. And that's like our purpose is about the institution. The institution is not the pearl. Jesus is the pearl. No, I'm not saying those things, going to church, praying, singing certain songs. I love certain kinds of music more than others. That's just, we all do. So those things are to kind of posture our heart to actually see the real pearl. They aren't supposed to become the pearl. Get it? So that's what we see. That's what I see, and I wanted to share that we understand that we have that tendency too. The question is: will we see and understand the supreme work of the kingdom of heaven? This is what Jesus is trying to get them to see in their day. And in our modern day, the real teaching is Jesus' teaching about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, however you want to say it, is not a really taught concept nowadays. And it's been lost, the reality of it all. That's why it's important for us to know the depth of what the kingdom is. Because until we understand it, we will not let go of those other pearls. We'll hold on to them. So it's important that we understand and we take the time. Because it's only when we understand the kingdom will we let them go. We freely let them go. We let go of those differences with other people. Otherwise, we're going to hold on to it. Because when we start to see Jesus as the real pearl, great value, we'll hold on to that. And what he's purposed us to be like as a people of God together. I want to go back to the man who stumbled onto the treasure. The man stumbled onto the treasure and sold all that had the treasure. That was me 40 plus years ago. 40 plus years ago, I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't religious. I didn't like Christianity. I didn't want to hear about God. I was living my life, and I had my pearls, and they were not in church. Okay? And I was at work one day, and some guys were going into this trailer to read the Bible, and for some reason I asked if I could join them. And I went in. And just like that man was walking through the field and stumbled onto this treasure, I was walking through this field called the Gospels. And I stumbled upon Jesus. And I sold everything I had. What I mean by selling everything so I could buy him, I don't mean I bought my salvation. The reality is that I came to a place of, I had to acknowledge I could not live a life that would ever earn me a place with God. And I had to acknowledge that and sell off my pride, my self-dependence, and acknowledge Jesus and trust in him. And that happened 40 years, something years ago. But I can say, it didn't happen one day. It happened a step to step. First day was just like he jumped off the pages of the Bible. He became very real over a period of 5 or 6 months. I started understanding the kingdom and him to the degree that I was willing to start selling off things. Selling off things, I mean, people would say to me, like, Kenny, you've changed. I mean, what are you talking about changing? You don't swear anymore, you don't party anymore, you don't get drunk anymore, you're not so competitive, you're not so angry anymore. I'm like, oh. See, I didn't try to get rid of those things. He became the treasure. Here, this is the part of the parable. When we start to understand the treasure, we start to see him as a value, we start to take him and he's the valuable thing in our life, all those other things we need to value just fall away. And that's what Jesus is trying to say too with these parables. Is when we understand the kingdom and we understand the treasure of the kingdom is the king and his kingdom, we'll start to move in that direction and we start to take on. That's our pearl. And all of the things that were pearls fall away. And that's what started to happen in my life. And there was no regrets. It was not like, you're right, I changed. And we're still changing. Now this is the thing. And I'm bringing this up because I'm going to tie back to the pearls and the different pearls we have. As we go along, those 6 months, I did not fully understand Jesus for who he really was or the kingdom. Neither did any of you in the first 6 months. Right? And a couple years later, I start to see a different value of the kingdom. Start to understand another part of it. Like, I thought I already paid for that. No, he's like, oh, you have to pay again now. You have to let those things go. Right? And it keeps happening as we move along. And you know, this is the thing we have to remember. A disciple of Jesus is not made in one reading of the scriptures or one event or 1 year or 30 years or a lifetime. There's just going to be a constant process of seeing him as his greater pearl that other things get left aside. That's why we have to pursue constantly. He says, seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. Right? Because there's a constant part of us as learners and growing and maturing and letting go of other things. Does anybody have any pearls they want to let go of? And see, sometimes, you know, as you move along, because some of those things, as we live longer, some of those things we've got a greater hold on them. Well, can I just put that in my pocket for a while? Or can I hold on to it? Can we do it together? We try to negotiate with God. It doesn't work. Right? the reality is, we understand, we're struggling with letting go of these things. But the more we start walking with Jesus, we start to realize it's time to let that go. And we got to be willing to do that. Got to be willing to do that. You see, and I tied to the pearls thing. So sometimes we're thinking, maybe I'm alone. Sometimes we get to think like, I've got it all together. We think that out of ourselves because we get to a point, we think, oh, we're doing, I'm doing good. And then, wow. It doesn't go long. And we have to realize that. And I bring it up, and this is not a message just for you that I'm saying, okay, Kenny's got it together, and I'm telling you guys, you gotta recognize your pearl. I'm in the midst of that too right now. And I felt to share it because even as I'm dealing with it, that some of us are. And I want to encourage you, Jesus he's not saying, do it or else. That's not how Jesus works, right? He works with us. He's gracious. He calls us. He pulls us to himself that we can start to understand the kingdom and him more. And when we do, he knows we'll let it go. He starts to reveal himself to us in grace. Let's go to Matthew 13, 47 through 50. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good in the containers but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. Angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fire furnace. In that day there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now this is actually similar to the parable of the weeds that's just before the parable of the treasure and the pearl. Okay? And Jesus here is talking about future treasure. The Jewish people expected when the kingdom came, when the Messiah came, there would be a kingdom come, there would be a final judgment on all evil and all wickedness would be vanquished and done away with on the earth. And so it's not happening yet. And Jesus is saying, that's going to happen, but it's going to happen some other time, at the end of the age, not during his time. He's reinforcing this idea that judgment is that sorting of good and evil is still yet to come. And see, during this time, guess what's happening? Good and evil is existing together, right? It's there. I know some of us would say, can we just get rid of it? But it's there, and it's not going to change until he returns and the end of the age comes. And he vanquishes all evil. But he's saying, it's happening. And see, and the disciples, Jesus is teaching this about the pearl and the kingdom. But he's also teaching it, saying, talking to the disciples, who have this tendency, or the Jewish people too, as a whole, looking for judgment to come, and a physical execution of judgment on the Roman government. Right? And even the disciples, I think, are expecting that they're going to be a part of that, executing that judgment. And they're willing, and they're always tending towards sorting out them as God's people and those that aren't. Right? Do we ever do that? Nothing's new under the sun. This is the way it's humanity. We have this tendency towards that. And Jesus says it before the pearl. And the treasure, he talks about the same issue, and now afterwards, he sandwiches it on both sides to reinforce his idea, like, you're not supposed to be doing this sorting to them and to who? Us. You know, there's a guy when I was in the military in California, my co-worker, who was my party buddy for the first 2 years, got saved. In the last 3 years, I had to work, plus me and Paul are together here. And all he kept wanting to do was tell me about Jesus. And I was just saying, well, shut up. I didn't want to hear it. And then I became a Christian. Years later, after I had left there to come back home. And I finally got in touch with him. through Facebook and LinkedIn, you can find people. And I called him, and I'm like, I'm a believer. And he's like, no way. See, I bring that up to you, he's like, we don't know who will become our brother and sister next. We don't know. Those that don't know Jesus may become your brother or sister in Christ tomorrow. Your family member, your brother or your sister physically, a cousin, a different people, co-workers. Don't sort anything out. You do not know what God is doing. Back to the very beginning, the word of the kingdom is being sown out there continually. And is it, I just want to reinforce this. It doesn't mean it's someone like me up here preaching. Has you ever not spoken to you from a commercial on TV or a billboard? God uses whatever he wants to use to get a word, to get your attention, to bring us to him. And so we don't know who's going to be he's going to take and bring in. So we can't stop sorting. Stop judging. I know it's hard, but the more we understand the kingdom and the heart of our King, who is continually sowing out the word of the kingdom, the more we understand that, the less we'll sort, the less we'll judge. Make sense? We see that he's working, and we will not miss the little things. See, that's another part of the other parable of the mustard seed. They expected this big, dramatic event to happen. And Jesus said, no, the kingdom of God is like this mustard seed you planted in the ground. It doesn't seem like much. It was one man named Jesus. Then it was 12 men. Then it was a couple hundred. Then it was a couple thousand. And now it's reaching for the whole earth. Which started as something as small. Watch for the small things. Let's finish up with verse 51 through 52. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. Did they understand? They said they did. And we know by the rest of Matthew's gospel that they didn't understand fully. They gave mental assent to it. They said, oh yeah, we understand the words you're saying. And that's what we do sometimes. But nonetheless, he goes, what's he do afterwards? And this question I'm going to ask you, this is a question for us today. Jesus is asking us, have you understood all these things? Have you understood all these things? And the response is there, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. See, Jesus here is now, he's making a comparison. He's another parable here. He's making a comparable between the scribes of the Old Testament and the scribes of the kingdom of heaven. There's a difference. The scribes of the kingdom, the scribes of the Old Testament, their pearl was adherence to the law. Teaching other people to have that same pearl of adherence to the law. They were putting the weight of the law and the requirements on the people. And he's saying, no, the scribes of the kingdom of heaven, once they're trained in the kingdom of heaven, it's like a master of the house who can bring treasures out of the new and the old. And they then, instead of putting that kind of pearl of weight and requirement, they help people see the true treasure and be free. Completely different. Completely different. And so Jesus right now, to them, he's trying to get them to understand, you've got a task ahead of you. We've got a task. We're called to be scribes of the kingdom of heaven, not of the Old Testament. Of the kingdom of heaven, where we're helping people see the true treasure of Jesus in his kingdom. Not laws, not, you know, sometimes I'm not against church attendance, I'm saying sometimes we make like, you gotta come to church, it's all about getting to church and being in the institution. I'm like, they need to know who the treasure is, Jesus. See, our devotion is to a person. Jesus said, come to my church. No, he said, come to me. A person. That's the treasure, is the person Jesus. Eternal life is to know the one true God and the one he sent, Jesus. That's eternal life. And so he's saying, he's calling out for us too. Do you want to be trained in the kingdom of heaven? Do you want to be a scribe in the kingdom of heaven? We're not just, Paul talked about earlier, he's looking for workers, scribes of the kingdom of heaven. It's not just about knowing the treasure, it's about helping other people find the treasure. Not that we force it to them. We share it with them, that we show it to them, that they then see it, and they have no other choice but say, I have to joyfully, I have to get rid of all that stuff. I have to have that treasure too. And that's what he's doing right now.
Let's bring this to a close. I just want to encourage you, if you're here today, and you are just like I was like before, I didn't know Jesus, but I stumbled upon Jesus and the treasure. As a treasure, reading through the Gospels, the technical guide. And you're here, and you're just trying to understand who Jesus is, and you're kind of stumbling through that. I want to encourage you, continue to pursue trying to understand Jesus. Ask questions, read the scriptures, ask God to show you. He'll show you. And when you come to understand the treasure of Jesus, you will take him on. Okay? So pursue him. Continue to pursue him. Maybe you're here today and you've been a believer a while and you've got some pearls that today I just highlighted some and you're like, oh, I have to let those go. And you're needing help. Well, God, I pray right now for those that are recognizing those pearls in their own life right now. I pray, God, and your grace is beyond them in the way that they can understand you for who you are and what the kingdom is all about. And in turn, they would have the real freedom and power to say, I'm done with that and I have you more. So I pray, God, you give them a deeper understanding of the kingdom. And for those that maybe they're stirred in their heart, they want to be scribes of the kingdom of heaven. I encourage you, start looking at the kingdom of heaven more. Read the Gospels, read the New Testament with an eye for the kingdom of heaven. There are plenty of books out there to talk about the kingdom of heaven. Talk to Pastor Bob. Ask him about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the understanding. And learn that, because the more you know it, the deeper your walk will be with Jesus. And not only that, you'll be able to walk your life, your purpose for your life, in alignment with God's purposes for your life. And you walk within his kingdom purpose.